The scripture reading is Ezekiel 47, 1 to 5, and Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. I read Ezekiel 47, 1 to 5. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, the water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the altar gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, the water was trickling from south side when the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand. He measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water has risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, affections, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. And those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Senior pastor will deliver the message.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, and children of Sunday school and GCN viewing audiences, this is the 14th session in the series, God Measures Our Faith. Most people have a fear of the water when they first learn how to swim. But as they get used to the water and their skills improve, they can enjoy the fun of swimming. They can swim even in deep water. It's similar to being immersed in the water of God's Word. If a person has little faith, he is more familiar outside the world of God's Word. Namely, being in this world feels more comfortable to him. He feels awkward if immersed in the world of God's Word, and he might even feel afraid. I got a short message through my mobile phone saying, Senior Pastor, it's been 1 year since I was born again. Today, June 17th, 1 year ago, I was afraid how to come to the church and how to adapt myself to the church life. How can I attend the Daniel prayer meeting every night if I become the Levite? Is it possible for me to do continually? Is it possible for me to pray? That was the fear I had 1 year ago. Is it possible for me to change living by the Word of God? I was not confident at the time. But just exactly 1 year ago, the same day 1 year ago, I was touched by you, Senior Pastor. Right after that, I was totally changed, instantly. And I've been working hard, and now I'm so much grateful to God Almighty, and I love Him. And I understand that all the worldly things are not valuable, and I have become the Levite, serving the Lord in the church as a step. So I'm so much grateful to you. That was the short message. I am living my Christian life so happily, and I'm fulfilling my duty happily. And thank you, Senior Pastor, for your prayer and touch. When she was in the world, it was so hard for her to leave. But since she came into the Lord, she was immersed herself in the words of God, and now she's feeling so happy and joyful. She cut off all the worldly lifestyle, and she became harmonious with the family members, and even the family members were happy. and all the family members after Daniel prayer meeting gathered together. And they enjoyed family reunion, eating chicken, fried chicken together. So it's so graceful and grateful to live in this way. But as he practices the Word of God and becomes accustomed to living by the Word to some extent, he can have the freedom of truth. So to live in the Word of God and to live in the Lord and to live in the truth is so great and happy. So how deeply are you immersed in the Word of God's Word? Up to your ankle or up to your knee or up to your loin or up to your throat, or are you swimming? Some of you have just your feet in it, while others could plunge their whole body into the water if they tried a little harder. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So all the heavy burden, why is it that you try to take it by yourself? It's simple and good to just throw it away. And every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, you can throw it away, then it's going to be great and good. What's the result of the committing sin? You know that clearly. Why is it that you don't throw away the sin and you're living with the sin? So they're so miserable. Now, not just myself, but many others have come into spirit and the whole spirit, and they testify to the joy of swimming in the sea of truth. Are there any of you who still have the shackles of sin and live in the pain and fear of not being able to even put your feet in the water of God's word? Today, let's delve into the evident works of the flesh, continuing from the last session. They are the sins that deprive of salvation. From now on, I hope you will lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and enjoy true freedom and peace in the truth, like fish in the water. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will vigorously march on in your race of faith, hoping for the peace and rewards that will be given in New Jerusalem. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ and the viewing audiences, today, let me continue to talk about the evident works of the flesh, which are the things among sins depriving of salvation. In the last session, through King Saul and Absalom, who stood against David, we learned about enmity, jealousy, outbursts of anger, and disputes. At the bottom of these works of the flesh lies hatred, which is spiritual murder. There is also greed. It's the same with dissensions and factions, which I'm going to explain now. So I want you to check yourself whether you have the hatred in yourself while listening to the message, and the spiritual murder or the greed. If you have a greed, then just root it out. If you throw the greed out, greed away, then God will give you the true happiness and true joy, a true blessing. As long as you have a greed in yourself, you can receive the true blessing from God abundantly. So if you want to receive the blessing from God abundantly, you need to remove the greed. That's what I got from God in 1980s. So saying that if your church members threw away the greed, then I can bless them abundantly. Well, it is the same with dissension, is to separate oneself from a group or organization to follow personal desires. Those who separate themselves in such a way usually create a faction or dissenting minority of conflict. I've been preaching the gospel since I was a student of the theological seminary before even graduation. And when I was graduated, and I was a minister, just a simple minister, not the was ordained yet. And when I visited a church for conducting a evangelical meeting, then the senior pastor of that church asked me to break the factions in the churches, because we have a lot of different factions in this church, like a faction of elder, faction of pastor, etc. Even the Bible mentions the factions. And when I visited different churches, that I found out that there are some the factions in the church. Even the denomination I belonged before, yeah, it was the same with them. But in this church, for the last 3 years, we have not had any faction. So what kind of faction do you belong? Yeah, you belong to the faction of senior pastor, right? No. What about elders? Which faction do you belong? Yeah, we have only one faction, the faction of Jesus Christ and faction of God Almighty. So we are united as the band of the truth and band of the Holy Spirit. There's no faction in this church. We are all one. So, creating a faction is also an evident work of the flesh. So, there must be not a faction of somebody. Instead, we must have the one faction in the church, the faction of Jesus Christ. Factioning is to make a group within a group because of different in ideas. This is not just about having cordial fellowship among those who have similar viewpoints. It's to pass judgment and condemnation on and to slander and gossip about the leader of the larger organization. We don't have this kind of thing in this church. You don't judge or condemn the president of the elders association. You don't do it for a pastor. You don't do it for Mrs. Lee, president of Manmin Prayer Mountain. We are all one. We love each other and we serve each other. I believe there is more than what the early church members did, because we try to keep each other. So it is to pass judgment and condemnation on and to slander and gossip about the leader of the large organization. This doesn't happen only among the unbelievers. This can happen in a church too. For example, some people make factions just because they have different ideas from the pastor or because of different opinions among the church members. In some cases, they create factions to groundlessly accuse the pastor of the church just to cover up their force. Such groups are synagogues of Satan, which is an evil act of creating factions. The church is the body of the Lord, and the members are parts of his body. Therefore, to separate themselves and create factions to pursue individual benefits is to tear apart and divide the church, which is the body of the Lord. How evil an act this is. Of course, the head of the leaders of the church might have been clearly practicing untruth. But if the believers truly care for the church of the Lord and the members, what should they do? Do they judge or condemn or criticize or drive somebody away? Before they judge anything and make divisions, they would first kneel before God to pray. Whether I have done something wrong, whether I've done something against God's will, etc. So before judging or condemning others, we should kneel down and ask forgiveness for what we have done wrong, if there's anything wrong. They will humbly wait for the judgment of God and His work. Before judging or condemning, we better commit everything into God's hand to do it. It's the kingdom of God, because it's the church of God, and it's the church God has established, and it is the children of God. So God should do it, judge or condemn. It is God, not us, to do that. So David, who knew about this truth, when he was fled by Saul with lots of soldiers standing against God's will. Because Saul was ordained by God, anointed by God. He didn't stand against him. He just fled from him. And even he wept on behalf of Saul. That's exactly the man of God. If that particular worker is not proper in the sight of God, God will take care of that matter himself. So it's not we who judge or condemn, but God should do it. Absalom rebelled against his father, following his own evil and benefits. But in his view, he had reasons that were acceptable. That's everything. Everything has the reasonable the reasons. So we need to check whether, before we do something, whether it's reasonable or not. He thought it was not right when his father, King David, didn't punish Amnon, who had committed a great sin. So Amnon committed a great sin, but King David didn't punish him. So Absalom thought it was not right. The son of David raped Absalom's beautiful sister and just deserted her. The beautiful sister of Absalom. Yeah, even Absalom is the son of David, but they were the stepbrothers, having different mother. So Amnon raped Absalom's beautiful sister and just deserted her. If he raped and he should take her and live together. But he didn't do that, Amnon. So Absalom must have been resentful. But the King David just forgave Amnon. That's why the Absalom had some resentment. Towards the King David. So along with the resentment caused by this incident, Absalom had arrogance in his heart. He thought it was proper that he had to be the king, for he was worthy to be loved by the people. Of course, he was also power hungry, but God raised the hands of David. He didn't say Absalom was right. Absalom thought to himself that he was right, but in the sight of God, God said that David is right. Absalom sought his own personal righteousness and benefits and not God's righteousness. He forsook his position of a prince and separated himself from his father, King David. At that time, many people, including Ahithophel, who was David's counselor, separated themselves from David and followed Absalom. As we can see here, dividing and making factions is caused by evil such as hatred, self-righteousness, individual moral frameworks, and greed. If you don't just harbor such evil in the mind, but actually put it into action, and especially if you stand against the leader whom God loves, how can you expect to receive salvation? So those who follow the Absalom and the generals and subordinates were destructed. Brothers and sisters, in addition to this, there is also heresy among the evident works of the flesh, depriving of salvation. Simply put, heresy is to deny Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. So members of Mandan Church should understand what the heresy exactly means by the words of God, the truth. So I want you to keep that in mind one more time, clearly. It's not the heretical a church or organization if somebody else is says in that way. You must understand clearly the definition of the heresy based upon the Bible. In this church, we've never judged or condemned other pastor or other church or the denomination heretic. Have you ever heard that I saying that such and such pastor or such and such church is the heretic? No. For the last 30 years, I have not done so. Don't you minister in the name of Jesus Christ? Even Jesus said that it's not heretical. If they do something in my name, it's not heretical. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, never said or criticized somebody or some other people heretical. For example, Pharisees. But these days, especially in this country, why is it that so many pastors and church leaders are using the word heretical or heresy? So they try to criticize any church or any pastor through whom the God's of works of God, especially the powerful works of God, is manifested. So people are working hard to live by the words of God, especially through that kind of church and ministry. But lots of people try to criticize those churches and pastors, saying that they are heretical, if the power of God is manifested. We must not do so. Dear congregation, brothers and sisters, in addition to this, there is also a heresy among the evident works of the flesh, depriving of salvation. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you." The Lord? Yes, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. So, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. So, those who deny the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the heresy, and they are going to the destruction. The Bible says that those who deny the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought us with His blood and bring swift destruction upon themselves, are heretics. God the Creator, you understand that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and you believe in God the Creator. Through this verse, we can understand that the heretical belief will lead a person to destruction. Along with this, there is another fact that we have to keep in mind. That is, without knowing correct biblical definition of heresy, it is also a great sin to recklessly condemn others as heretics. The church God loves, if we say that kind of church heretic is a great sin. If we say say a pastor who is loved by God so great, heretical, it's a great sin. It's the kind of activity standing against God's will. Those who commit such a sin easily judge and condemn some of the churches and believers as heretical, with the standards other than the Bible, namely with its subjective standards. Subjective standards. So we must do it, we must discern with the truth, with the standard of truth. If we try to do it by the tradition of elders or the practices of the specific denomination or by a knowledge one has input in his memory, condemning and heretical, this is also to stand against the Lord. Especially if you recklessly condemn a church that shows the works of the Holy Spirit as heretical, it is to add the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit on top of passing condemnation. Therefore, we have to discern heresies based on the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 to 23 clearly gives us the standard to discern between true Christians and the false Christians. Who are the true Christians and who are the false ones? It says, who is the liar? The liar. So I want you to discern who the liar is. Who's the liar but the one who denies that the Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the Christ. our Lord and Savior. But those who deny that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, they are the liars. This is what the Bible mentioned. Even in the Revelation, those who tell a lie will not be saved, falling into the hell. If you deceive somebody else, I'm not talking about that kind of trivial issues. Those who deny that Jesus Christ is our Savior, they are the people who tell a lie, the liar. And this is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son doesn't have the Father. So whoever denies the Son doesn't have the Father, the Creator, God the Creator. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. So if we confess that Jesus is our Savior, then the God the Father, the Creator, is the Father. Oh, Father. That's why we call the Jehovah's Witness the heretic heresy. Why? Because they just deny the Son, the Jesus Christ. They only recognize the God, the Father, denying the Jesus Christ, the Son. That's why even Unification Church, they just deny the Jesus Christ. Even they don't recognize the God, the Father. Instead, they themselves do everything, becoming the God. We have some other heretical cults who practice in this way. Namely, we must not condemn a church that believes in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, namely God the Trinity, and admits and confess Jesus to be our one and only Savior. They are not the heresy. How can the heresy admit the name of Jesus Christ without denying it? So we must not say the word heretical or heresy because something is not agreeable to our knowledge, etc. But today, there are so many people who judge and condemn other churches with subjective standards. So, so regrettable. Specifically, a church God is with, if we condemn or judge, then it's going to be a great thing. If we condemn and judge a church with which God is with, God is, then that kind of church must be followed by the signs and wonders because God is with them. When Jesus was with the disciples, disciples could experience the power of God, the signs and wonders. We must not say in this way, if God is with a specific church, then the signs and wonders are done by the Holy Spirit. So if we deny it and if we condemn it, then it means that we just blaspheme the work of the Holy Spirit. When I proclaim the words of God on the altar, and how can I prove that the proclaimed word of God is true? By what can I prove? Unless it's proved, you cannot follow it, then you can believe it. How can I prove that the word proclaimed on this altar is true? Just tell me, please. By what? Yes, the signs and wonders. Yes, but the full sentence, the words of God, I mean the script. You know, you must know that. Yeah, you know that. Jesus said, his disciples went out and preached everywhere. The disciples of Jesus preached everywhere, preached. And when they did that, how could they prove that their preaching was true? And what did the Bible say? The signs and wonders followed by their preaching. That was the evidence that the God was with them. And the people could believe that their preaching was true. The disciples preached. But how could the people believe that that was true? Jesus worked with them and confirmed their messages by the signs that followed. Signs and wonders. It means that Jesus was with them. The evidence that Jesus was with them, if there's a signs and wonders manifested. And people could believe that it was true what they preached. In this church, so many signs and wonders have been manifested in this church. It's recognized worldwide. So many wonders and signs and the manifestation of the power of God. So God has been working so greatly in this church with these signs and wonders. But some people regrettably judge and condemn as heretical. And if you can listen to this message, then you must repent. It's the act of standing against God and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and Holy Spirit. We must not do so. It's directly related to salvation. How can we be saved if we stand against God Almighty and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit? So those churches, they know themselves. There are so many dissensions and disputes in the church and lots of disasters and tests and trials. And no signs and wonders are manifested in that church. They proclaim that it will be done just as you believed it would, but it will not be done in that way. So what shall they do when they had some problem and diseases? Well, senior pastor, what shall I do? I have a cancer. Then what did they say? What do the pastor say? Just go to the medical doctor or hospital. That's the answer. Dear congregation, the servants of God who teach the words of God should be guaranteed by God for what they have preached and taught. For example, if I proclaim that if you live by the words of God, then you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed if you live by the words of God. Yeah, it's true. Yes, amen. You can say amen. Yeah, you're going to be healed if you live by the words of God. Then, the pastor should teach how to practice the words of God in everyday life so that we may be blessed. Then you must be blessed if you live by the words of God. So I teach in that way, for example, and if I am poor, I just should borrow if I don't have money, and I should ask somebody else to help me, etc. Why is it that I just thought that we're going to be blessed if we live by the words of God and living in such a poor life? Then how can congregation believe what I teach, what I taught? Then what shall I do? I should be rich. I should be wealthy by the blessing from the Lord, God Almighty. And I should teach you that you're gonna be rich and wealthy like I am if you live by the words of God. Then I can confidently teach that you're gonna be blessed if you live by the words of God. Since I established the church for last 3 years, I've never asked somebody to help me, and I never borrowed money from you, the members of the church. Even though I had difficulties when I established the church, but I've been establishing the church up to now, preaching the gospel to the whole of the world. But instead, I just helped a lot of people. I have helped a lot of churches, and because the Bible says that they just give if somebody asks you to give. I've never asked to give me, because God Almighty is my Father and is my Master. So all I have to do was to ask Him to give. Because God said that the gold is mine and silver is mine, and if I just ask, and He can give me. Jesus said that the knock and it will be opened, and the seek and you can find, and ask and it will be given to you. And if you have anything to condemn in your heart, then you can ask anything before God, and you can receive it. That's all promises of God in the Bible. So, I should ask before God Almighty and receive the answer. So, I personally have been asking God and have been establishing the church and the whole world faithfully practicing the Great Commission. So, as a pastor, I should have confidently proclaimed that you can be blessed if you live by the words of God. our church members, and including all the branch churches, about we have 2 million people, more than that, because we can count all the members, numbers of the members just right next door, those who are in the right next door, the mainland China. So I was the most blessed among the whole congregation because I have lived by the words of God. So that's quite natural for me to be blessed in that way. For the last 30 years since I established the church, I have been number one to offer the tithes and offer thanksgiving offerings and offer special thanksgiving offerings for specific the feast. So I want you to overcome or pass me. Well, there's one thing I prophesied 10 years ago. Among our church members, somebody will be blessed. And just look carefully what, how God blessed them. So do you remember that? And currently, I just asked the senior deaconess Pin Geum Sun, the chief of the editing bureau, who they were. And they remember clearly. Even I could discern without mentioning a prophesy and proclaim that look careful how God will bless them. About 10 years ago, and a couple of years ago, I mentioned one more time, and the secretariat office brought me what I exactly prophesied and mentioned 10 years ago. Those sons, I mean, two sons are the number one and number two who offered the most tithe in this church. Beside myself, because I've been always number one. And there's no mistake. How could I prophesy in that way? Because they loved God so much, genuinely, I mean, from the heart. Through the couple of tests, they passed. Because they obeyed for the senior pastor. And those are the sons. That's why God has blessed them. They worked hard and they sowed the seed diligently. And I met the family this morning. And maybe his testimony will be introduced. But this morning I met his family, and he has become the number one in offering the tithe. And number two, the son who worked so diligently according to the will of the senior pastor, without mentioning specifically, he just tried to find out what to do, and according to my will, the senior pastor, and they've been blessed, and their family members are also almost in the spiritual level. So they are right above for the level of spirit. I mean, the members of that their family, those family, they have taught the children in the Lord well. And I just compared the amount of the tithe they offered with the amount that I offered. But I thought to myself that it wouldn't be possible for them to compete with me till Jesus comes again. Because I was blessed so greatly, because God said that gold is mine and silver is mine, and that's what I have been experiencing. So, dear congregation, so don't you commit such a sin, easily judge and condemn some of the churches and believers as heretical with the standards other than the Bible, namely with their subjective standards. We must not do so. Even the biggest church in the world are having a lot of difficulties in themselves over the financial issues. But I've never said that those church or the church is heretical or something. Because it's not heretical, even though they fight fighting each other over the money or something. Because they don't deny the God, the Trinity. because they proclaimed the Jesus Christ. That's why they are not heretical, even though they fight over the money issues. Well, also we, as the world is so spiritually corrupted and as people's ideas and philosophy develop, some people deny truth and are deceived by heretical ideas. We have to discern such a heresy with the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 to 3 says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that the Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that doesn't confess Jesus is not from God." Do you understand that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that doesn't confess Jesus is not from God. So they belong to enemy devil Satan. So this is the spirit of the Antichrist. So every spirit that doesn't confess Jesus is not from God. Of which you have heard that it's coming, and now it is already in the world. And they are the heresy. The God Trinity, whom we believe, Jesus Christ. So they just deny the God, the Trinity, and the Jesus Christ. So they are different from us. So they are the heresy. They are the heresy. Here, to confess Jesus is not just a lip service saying, "I believe." It is to have the deeds in our lives that follow according to the teaching of Jesus. Because we believe in Jesus Christ, that we just live by the words of God. So without living in the darkness, we just live in the light, keeping the commandments. And that's the true confession. If we truly believe God Trinity, God the Trinity, then just we just live by the words of God and confess that we love you and we believe you. And we're going to be liar if we don't live by the words of God, saying that we believe you. That's what the Bible says. So 1 John says that it's going to be lie if we say that we have a fellowship with God, living in the darkness. For example, our church members live by the words of the Lord, and God has given us His power as a result. You always try to live by the word of God in everything, and you experience His power. Also, you yourself show the power of God through the handkerchiefs and sweet water that contains the power. Psalm 62 verse 11 says, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard it, that power belongs to God." So Psalm 62:11 says, "The power belongs to God." But evil people even deny this words of God, or even the power belongs to devil, etc. What an evil thing it is, and standing against the will of God. So we must not do so. If the church manifests the power of God and teaches the truth, then we should encourage them and we should pray for them. And what a great thing it is to have such a lot of churches and to have such a great pastors. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that those of you who have the true evidence will firmly stand on the rock of faith and not be deceived by falsehood in any case. Well, these days, even people who don't know who Jesus Christ is say somebody is heretical. Lots of churches pray in the name of Jesus. Even when you listen to or watch the TV programming, just try to avoid it if they pray in that name, in that way. We pray in the name of Jesus. So they don't know exactly who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? What does it mean, Jesus? The name Jesus. the one who will save his people. That's exactly what the name Jesus means. It's the future tense. It's not the present perfect. It's going to be. So Jesus has come as a savior, but the Jesus is not yet. So since he was crucified and breaking out the power of darkness, the power of the death, and became the our savior, resurrected, he has become our savior. So, he has become Jesus Christ by doing so. So, we should put the Christ to the name of Jesus. So, our Lord means Christ. So, if we try to more perfectly, just as Apostle Paul did, then we must call him in this way, our Lord Jesus Christ. Only if you say Jesus, then it means that the Jesus who before being crucified. So when did he become Christ, the Savior? When he was crucified and dead on behalf of us and broke the power of darkness, power of the death, and resurrected. He has become the Christ, our Lord and Savior. So on the cross, he said that I've accomplished all. And he died, and in 3 days, he was resurrected, becoming our Savior. So when we pray, we should pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We must not say that we just pray in the name of Jesus. So do you understand? Okay. So when I was in South America, 5,000-6,000 pastors gathered together, and I taught them that it's wrong when you pray in the name of Jesus. So lots of pastors were astonished. Ooh, what kind of teaching is this? And I just explained to them why we must pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And they understood. And when we were in the old sanctuary, we had a pastor seminar, and about a couple of thousand pastors from different parts of this country gathered together, and I taught them the same thing, and they were astonished at first. But when I explained, and they were grateful to me for the teaching. Because I didn't know that saying that they, I didn't know that in detail, and I just prayed in the name of Jesus. So we must know. We must know correctly. So lay your hand on the part of your body which are sick. Father God, lay your hand on us now, from the top of the head to the end of the feet, all the nervous system and the cells and all the internal organs, bless us and burn us and heal us, in the name of Jesus Christ. All the diseases and germs and infirmities, go away from the top of the head to the end of the feet, from the internal organs and cells and nervous system. Be healed and be clean. Be look well and heal well. And all these internal organs like the heart and the lungs and the kidneys, be clean and be strong. And throat cancer, terminal cancers, be healed. Germs, go away. And the skin diseases, be healed and be clean. And high blood pressure, low blood pressure, and diabetes, be healed. All the germs, go away. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, be scorched and let the light come down on you. Father God, in victory, the readers and audiences, please lay your hand on them. They have a lot of, they have sent a lot of prayer items. Answer to their prayers. And viewers of the TV in Russia, Father, they have sent the prayer requests. Lay your hand on them and bless them and answer them and heal them. Father, God, and Kenya, Reverend Myeongho Chung, he's going to lead the pastor seminar and the handkerchief evangelical meeting from 21st to 23rd. Help them. And Maijuru Manmin Church handkerchief prayer meeting. And Orena, who's been pregnant for 8 months, bless her to deliver the baby healthy. And Pastor Chung Kyung-tae in Japan, bless him to lead the successful handkerchief prayer meeting. And Pastor Kim Kyung-hee in the Taiwan, bless her to lead the pastor's seminar from 20 to 22nd. And evangelist Nohyun Suk in the Belgium, bless her to lead a successful handkerchief meeting on 24th of June. And Wu Shimei in Malaysia, help her to get a better eyesight and to pass the a doctor's examination. And Missionary An, bless him to give a good lecture for theology from 19th to 21 and 26th to 28th in different churches. And Chun Sun Hee, bless her to be healed of the a raining and blood pressure and the cervical vertebral. And Kim Jong-hae, help her and heal her in her loin and spine and the fracture in her leg, etc. And Lee Ok-suk, cervical vertebral. And Moon Young-soo, high blood pressure and heart disease and arthritis and liver disease, etc. Heal him. Lee Myung-hwa, be healed of age. And Han Geum-son, recover the eyesight. And Choi Bong-hak, bless him to recover the hearing. And Kim Eugum, help her to be healed of the skin diseases and athlete's foot. And Han Geum-ok and healed her. Father, thank you. Lord, answer to our desires of heart and prayer, and bless us to evangelize the family members, and bless our students to study well, and strengthen them to win over in this wicked world. Father, give us peace and protect our cars and vehicles of the church, and help us to drive safely. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.